Chapter 21. The moving van arrived at the Smithsonian warehouse 20 minutes after Austin had departed in the Yukon. Corinna was relieved to see the unmarked truck back up to the warehouse. She had seen firsthand the ingenuity and determination of the ship hijackers. The truck's rear doors opened, and two men dressed in generic gray uniforms and matching baseball caps climbed out. One man activated the tailgate lifting platform, and the other unloaded a wheeled dolly and a large wooden box. The driver got out of the cab and came around back with a fourth man. "You must be Ms. McCarty," he said in a slow southern drawl. "My name is Ridley. I'm in charge of this gang of gorillas. Sorry we're late." Ridley was a husky man with a blonde marine brush cut. He and his crew carried sidearms in belt holsters and had portable radios clipped to their pockets. "No apology needed," Corinna said. "I just finished wrapping the statue to be transported." She led the way into the warehouse. Ridley chuckled when he saw the figure swathed from top to bottom in padding and tied with rope. "Hooey! Kind of looks like a big sausage." Corinna smiled at the apt comparison. "The statue is more than 2,000 years old. It's already been damaged, and I wanted to do whatever I could to protect it." "Don't blame you a bit, Ms. McCarty. We'll take good care of it." Ridley stuck his curled thumb and forefinger between his lips and let out a sharp whistle. His men came into the warehouse, placed the wooden box on the dolly, and lined the container with additional pads. Using straps to keep the statue steady, they lowered it into the box and moved the loaded dolly out of the warehouse. The tailgate lifted the load to the level of the cargo level, and the movers pushed it into the truck. Two movers got into the back of the truck. One man produced a rifle and sat on the box as if he were riding shotgun on a stagecoach. The other closed the door, and Corinna heard it lock from the inside. The driver got behind the wheel, and Ridley came over with a clipboard, which he handed to Corinna. "Have to ask you to sign this form just to make it all legal." Corinna scrawled her signature across the bottom of the form and handed the clipboard back to Ridley. "That's my car over there," she said. "I'll follow you to the Smithsonian." "No need, Ms. McCarty. We know where to go. We'll take care of things and you can go about your business." "This is my business," she said with characteristic firmness. Ridley's eyes grew hard as he watched Corinna walk to her car. He swore softly under his breath and climbed into the cab, where he made a quick call on his cell phone. He talked for a few moments and clicked off. He turned to the driver and barked, "Move!" With Corinna's car tailing it, the truck pulled out of the warehouse complex onto the road. The vehicles wound their way through suburban Maryland neighborhoods. Corinna began to relax. Ridley and his men seemed competent and efficient, almost in a military fashion. Although she didn't like firearms, she was comforted by the fact that the movers were armed. Unlike the defenseless crewmen aboard the container ship, they would be able to put up a fight. Corinna was familiar with Washington, but the surrounding bedroom communities were a bewildering maze of commercial and residential. The truck drove past shopping malls, gas stations, and subdivisions. She expected that they would eventually turn onto the Beltway or some other highway that headed into the district, and was surprised when the truck pulled over in front of a convenience store. Ridley got out and ambled back to the car. "How you doing, Miss McCarty?"
"I'm fine. Is there a problem?"
He nodded. "Heard on the radio that there's a mess on the highway leading into the city. Truck overturned and traffic's backed up for miles. We're going to use a back way into town. It kind of winds around, so I thought I'd warn you."
"That's very thoughtful of you. I'll make sure to stay close."
Ridley strolled back to the truck as if he had all the time in the world and climbed into the cab. The truck pulled out of the parking lot with Karina close behind. She hadn't heard any reports of the accident or traffic tie-ups, but maybe she'd been lost in thought. She switched the radio off and paid full attention to the truck. The moving van turned off onto a secondary highway lined with an unbroken wall of strip malls and fast food joints. The heavy traffic stopped every 100 yards or so for traffic lights. Karina was grateful after a couple of miles of stop and go when the truck's directional lights signaled a right turn. She was less thankful when they began to pass through a deteriorating neighborhood of seedy apartment houses and run-down commercial areas that looked as if they dated back to the Great Depression. Graffiti was scrawled on every vertical surface. Litter had washed up along the gutters. The unsmiling people she saw seemed stoned on drugs, as they probably were, given their surroundings. Minutes later, they passed through an area that looked like a war zone. What had once obviously been a busy commercial area was a deserted neighborhood of abandoned stores, shut-down garages, and padlocked brick warehouses. Vacant lots were overgrown with weeds and cluttered with wind-blown papers. Karina was frustrated at not being able to communicate with the truck. She tapped her car horn. Ridley stuck his muscular arm out the window and waved, but the truck showed no sign of stopping. She was looking for a wide place in the road where she could come up alongside when the truck turned off into a potholed restaurant parking lot. The word pizza could barely be made out on the faded sign on the front of the dilapidated brick building. Karina expected Ridley to come back and tell her that they were lost. When he didn't, she became annoyed, then angry. She clutched the wheel as if she wanted to pull it off. The truck just sat there. She thought about getting out, but one glance around at her desolate surroundings told her that she was in a very unhealthy place. She reached over to press the lock button on the door. In that instant, a figure materialized from behind an old dumpster, opened a rear door of her car, and got into the back seat. "Hello," the man said in a soft, breathy voice. Karina looked in the rearview mirror. Round eyes stared out of a baby face. She was looking at the hijacker she'd seen as she lay tied up in the ship container. She was gripped with fear, but she had the presence of mind to reach for the door handle. She felt coldness on her neck and heard a low hiss. She lost consciousness, and her head lolled on her chest. The man got out of the car and went over to the back of the truck. He knocked on the doors, which opened a second later. The guards inside the cargo area offered no resistance when he climbed in and inspected the wooden box. He spoke into a hand radio. A moment later, a truck with a fast delivery logo pulled around from behind the derelict pizza house. The statue was quickly unloaded and exchanged for 4 limp bodies that were taken from the second truck. The baby-faced man went over and gazed at Karina, thinking how beautiful and peaceful she appeared. He flexed the fingers that could still her beating heart in an instant and closed his eyes, taking a deep breath. With his homicidal impulse more or less under control, he climbed into the back of the moving van. The van pulled out of the parking lot, with the delivery truck close behind.